What other bigger question is there today than how do I live longer?
We often refer to it as longevity biotech, and it's not just about living longer. It's about living healthier lives. The idea behind longevity biotech is to create treatments and pharmaceuticals, equipment that helps us get a longer health span, do no harm. So no intervention until there's something wrong with us. Now, longevity biotech says that's not a good approach, because by the time there is a disease, there's already a lot of damage that's accumulated in your body. The whole concept with longevity is let's treat aging. Today we have defined 12 hallmarks of aging. The idea is let's treat these hallmarks instead of waiting for the diseases to happen to treat these diseases. We want to do some proactive treatments. We want to treat people who are healthy.
So a person might be 30, but his biological age might be 70 or 80. When someone says he was young, he was active, he was working out and all of it, but yet he suffered a stroke or a heart attack, it was because of the imbalance in the 12 hallmarks of aging, correct?
Correct, exactly. It's this advancement in these hallmarks that causes diseases. Biological age will fluctuate. For example, if you have the flu or say you've had COVID, your biological age will actually measure older right after or during that condition. But then it will recover slowly.
How easy it is to measure these hallmarks?
The answer is we don't know how to do it well yet. If you could measure it at home inexpensively, let's say with a drop of blood or by some other means every day or several times a day, you could observe.
You can measure two things to calculate age. One is all these functional tests that relate mostly to independence in your life. That's your capacity to go to the supermarket by yourself, to do some exercise, right? And the other bracket is all these cellular and molecular tests.
Form of EITF that Karthik and I are very proud to introduce. We're calling it EITF Next Wave. You would have seen our introduction video. And this is the first segment for EITF Next Wave. It's a mini series that we are going to be doing about longevity. What other bigger question is there today than how do I live longer? And if you don't know already, there are a lot of people who are working on this and who have made great advancements in this field. We have Fiona Miller and Jose Navarro Betancourt from Quadroscope.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
This is chapter one of EITF Next Wave for Longevity. We're going to kick it off with Fiona walking us through the different chapters. It's very different from Karthik and I walking you guys through it. It'll be way more interesting. So over to you, Fiona.
Great. Well, thank you, Nandini. And I would say longevity is the next wave of biotech. We often refer to it as longevity biotech. And it's not just about living longer. It's about living healthier lives. We have a concept of lifespan, but today many of us suffer for the last 10 years of our lifespan with some disabilities or chronic diseases. The idea behind longevity biotech is to create treatments and pharmaceuticals, equipment that helps us get a longer health span. So we're going to focus on health span rather than lifespan. So we've been, as a society, that we have a certain healthcare form that we all accept, and pharmaceuticals, you know, big pharma, the healthcare industry, the FDA, they are all working together in that model. And the model is focusing on diseases. So if you're a pharmaceutical company, you want to develop a new drug and go to market with it, you have to be treating a disease. Now, this goes back to the philosophy of do no harm. So no intervention until there's something wrong with us. Now, longevity biotech says that's not a good approach, because by the time there is a disease, there's already a lot of damage that's accumulated in your body. But if you start treatments proactively, if you say, well, I'm aging, I see some wrinkles, I see some gray hair. That means something's changing, not just with my appearance. Probably my blood vessels are stiffening. Probably my metabolism has changed because I have gained weight. You know, there are other things that happen. We see the outwardly signs and we're not treating them because we accept them as part of normal aging. But longevity biotech says no. It says you're not going to, young people don't get disease, right? It's when you age. Now, so what happens? As you age, your metabolism causes damage, and it's normal. And as this damage accumulates and accumulates over the years, at some threshold, it damages your organs and you get diseases. The whole concept with longevity is let's treat aging and let's keep us biologically young. Now, young people don't get these diseases, so I'm going to start with a curve.
I think that's very interesting, Karthik. You just brought up lifespan versus health span right before this interview. And you mentioned that, you know, it's the very basis of longevity. I think it's interesting that we're starting with that.
So I think the way I viewed it was arriving at the optimized ratio between lifespan and health span was the basis of longevity overall.
So this is a scary exponential curve. And what it shows, and thank you, Jose, for getting all this data together, there is, as we age, this is the age here on the x-axis, our probability of dying from some disease increases exponentially. In fact, doubles every 8 years of our lives. And so someone like me, who's in my early 60s, I am staring at this curve and I'm thinking, oh my God, I am right here. You know, I have this precipice in front of me. That's basically what happens. I mean, depending on our genes, we're going to get some of these diseases, but not others. Earlier or later, eventually, this is our fate. And so the idea here is let's not wait for that because we know it's coming. Even people with the super centenarian genes, they will eventually succumb to sarcopenia, to heart failure, even though it's a very small percentage, but they also obviously age, but they can live above 100 because they have very strong immune systems and they don't get these diseases, but they will age and succumb to something muscle related or heart related. So the idea here is let's first of all study these super centenarians, see how we can treat the rest of us to get the same results and then get us to a young biological age. So this is age reversal to get them kind of park ourselves at some reasonable age and keep us going in this infinite loop because we don't know how to stop aging. We're learning how to reverse it. And so that's kind of the goal. People say, well, you know, I'm so healthy. I eat grass-fed beef. I run every day. You know, I don't have to worry about it. But that's not true. I think without actual pharmaceutical interventions, we have to worry about this curve. And I said it can happen sooner or later, depending on how we take care of ourselves, depends on our genes. But it's going to happen. And so what is this science all about? So what it says is, as I mentioned, we've been focusing on diseases. There are hundreds of diseases. Then long bio says they're caused by some hallmarks of aging. And today we have defined 12 hallmarks of aging. The idea is let's treat these hallmarks instead of waiting for the diseases to happen to treat these diseases. That means proactive treatment. There are 12 hallmarks shown here. There are others, for example, extracellular matrix that may be added. There's a lot of discussion in the scientific circles about the importance of extracellular matrix. So far, we've been focusing on cells and the cell aging. And you may recognize some of these hallmarks. For example, telomeres have been invented by Geron. These are ends of our chromosomes that every time a cell divides, they shorten. When they shorten to nothing, then the cell cannot divide anymore and it either dies or becomes senescent. Senescent cells, they secrete toxic substances called senescence-associated secretory phenotype that are poisonous to our bodies. They circulate in the blood and they cause damage. Cellular senescence is another hallmark obviously related to telomere attrition. Although when telomeres, we run out of them, the cells most of the time will die, but only benign if we can restore them and replace them. And to replace the cells that died, we need stem cells. When we run out of stem cells, game over, we cannot replace our dead cells. So you can see some of these telomeres they're all connected. So one thing about these hallmarks of aging, as a scientist experiment with animals, primarily mice, and sometimes rats, they can manipulate these hallmarks. And so when they advance them, pretty much any one of these hallmarks, when it's advanced, can cause an animal to age. You can see gray hair, you can see them shrivel, and then you restore it back and the animal gets younger. But unfortunately, it's not as simple as that, because if for natural aging, it isn't just one hallmark, multiple hallmarks advance with age normally, and our repair mechanisms become less effective with time, and so we are not repairing damage as well. Some of these experiments in the lab could be dramatic. A lot of interest in senescent cell, because they're toxic, they secrete senescence-associated secretory phenotype, or SASP. When we kill them off, that gives widespread benefit that we can observe in the lab in the animals. And so that spurred a lot of investment into senolytics, which are drugs to kill senescent cells. You know, when you just break one hallmark like that, you cause senescence in an animal, then you reverse it, then you can see this very interesting effect that you can make the animal older and then younger again. And that's gee whiz, that's great. Let's go make senolytics. The problem is today is when we just reverse one hallmark, there's a whole bunch of other hallmarks around it that restore it back, because we don't have our repair mechanisms at full strength like we did when we were young. We have other hallmarks, like our telomeres are shortening, so there are more and more senescent cells. We've got stem cell exhaustion. We have a lot of other things that are happening. Another interesting hallmark is mitochondrial dysfunction. For those of you who don't know, mitochondria are tiny bacteria-like organisms within each cell. There are hundreds to thousands of them, depending on the cell type. And they're like batteries. They produce energy in the form of ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And then those also damage themselves because they're constantly producing energy. And as a result, they oxidize themselves. So for a while, we had this antioxidant craze that pharmaceutical companies or vitamin companies kept selling us antioxidants. We now know a little more about it, and a lot of this oxidative damage and oxidative stress happens right around mitochondria where the energy is produced. And then, you know, these mitochondria age and their genome gets corrupted with age. And so that's, you know, when you lose energy, you know, one of the CEOs of a company who's trying to replenish these mitochondria, he will say that if you just fix that energy source, a lot of other hallmarks will fix themselves. So we're still trying to understand this whole big picture. But the idea is clear. You know, we want to do some proactive treatment. We want to treat people who are healthy and keep them in top shape. And we need a way to measure what we're doing, the impact. You know, what's our biological age? What's the biological age of our organs? A lot of the science is still being defined.
So Fiona, you're saying that working out is just not enough, right? Working out, eating healthy, it doesn't reverse your biological age. It's probably going to get you a little bit further than where you are.
I would say working out, and probably is the so far, with all the treatments at the state they are for longevity, working out is the most effective one we have today. But what happens as we age, for example, you lose muscle tone with age, and then you reach a condition called sarcopenia. And sarcopenia is a graveyard. A lot of us were fortunate enough not to get any disease, like supercentenarians eventually succumb to this muscle waste. And what happens as you age, as you try to build muscle, it gets harder and harder. Your recovery is longer. And so you can't, like a young person can work out every day and add to the muscle tone and recover by their next workout. An older person will take longer. And so it becomes less effective over time. Diet and exercise are table stakes. They're basic things without which nobody should medicate themselves. That's the first thing we need to get right.
So Fiona, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is my understanding from the slide, is a person can be young, but his or her biological age is something that's dependent on a wide array of lifestyle factors. So a person might be 30, but his biological age might be 70 or 80, depending upon on the type of lifestyle he's lived. And the second understanding I'm having from this is when someone says he was young, he was active, he was working out and all of it, but yet he suffered a stroke or a heart attack, it was because of the imbalance in the 12 hallmarks of aging, correct?
Correct, exactly. It's this advancement in these hallmarks that causes diseases. If we can keep our hallmarks at a younger state, we'll be good. Now, biological age is very interesting. There's some recent work by Vadim Gladyshev at Harvard showing that biological age, as we measure, we have ways of measuring, for example, methylation age. Biological age will fluctuate. For example, if you have the flu or say you've had COVID, your biological age will actually measure older right after or during that condition. But then it will recover slowly to your normal level. And it may in fact fluctuate as a result of stress and poor sleep. And so we have to be careful how to measure that. Now, Nandini and I go way back to our wireless measurements. And when we measured wireless performance, I mean, that is a metric that fluctuates a lot. And yeah, we know enough that we need to measure it with a certain resolution so that we capture the fluctuation, the frequency composition of that signal, and that we get average it for a long enough time to make sense out of it so that we have a repeatable and meaningful measurement. There are also interferences that come and whack it, analogous to, let's say, you had the flu. You have to discount those. So this is a processing that we did as a normal course in our business, but it's not done in biotech. It isn't done.
How easy it is to measure these hallmarks? Do we have mechanisms and methodologies in current diagnostics?
Well, excellent question. Some of it is not hard to measure. I'm going to say the answer is we don't know how to do it well yet, but I think it's feasible. This is where we need more investment and more innovation and more startups. You know, for example, inflammation is not hard to measure. You measure in your blood a C-reactive protein, for example. Jose, you can probably add some other blood work. And that's a very strong signal for aging. So you don't have to measure everything. It all comes down to inflammation. And inflammation also causes sarcopenia. It causes this muscle atrophy. If you could measure it at home inexpensively, let's say with a drop of blood or by some other means every day or several times a day, you could observe what's going on. Coming from the test and measurement world where I spent my whole life, I am used to having much better metrics in electronics. You know, we measure stuff. Of course, we're not measuring on a live organism. It's different. It's much more complex, but I think we can do better.
I would like to add that on a high level, you can measure two things to calculate age. One is all these functional tests that relate mostly to independence in your life. That's your capacity to go to the supermarket by yourself, to do some exercise, right? And the other bracket is all these cellular and molecular tests. The cellular and molecular tests, the problem is that for most tests, the ranges, the target ranges where you should be at are not completely well defined. And there's some variability in the assays to measure them. So you end up getting very wide ranges. And these ranges are not good enough to guide treatment in most cases. Yeah, to talk a little bit about inflammation. The cool thing about blood work overlaps with some tests that are routinely used in the clinic. For example, blood glucose is one of the parameters to calculate some biological age. And inflammation markers too. Fiona mentioned a C-reactive protein. There's also TNF-alpha protein secreted by cells, signaling that there is something wrong. We age, we have this increase in inflammatory cytokines in the blood, and some people call it inflammaging.
So we saw the 12 hallmarks of aging. But the original version of the hallmarks came from Aubrey de Grey, and he defined 7 factors of aging. He called them, 7 damage types or 7 deadly things. He defined them in the paper going back to 2002. So Aubrey came on the scene at the turn of the century. He's widely considered the founding father of rejuvenation biology, of longevity. But Aubrey just looked at what gerontologists were doing at the time, and they were trying to reverse the effect of metabolism, because metabolism in its normal function, it causes damage. And it's very basic, and they were trying to reverse that damage or stop the damage while still keeping metabolism keeping us alive, doing normal things that it's doing. They weren't getting anywhere because it's all intertwined. For example, we talked about mitochondria, which are energy generators, and they zap themselves because they're close to this high voltage. So they have this damage that they're doing to themselves, and it's normal. And so Aubrey came on the scene from the perspective of an engineer and said, well, why don't we just fix the damage? Because that we know how to do. And metabolism is a scary, complex beast. We don't know how to deal with it. And at that time, the scientists were going nowhere with rejuvenation. It basically became a stigma to even apply for grants for rejuvenation. Nobody would take you seriously. So he did a lot of work basically laying the foundation and saying, these are the types of damage, which we can see here. And here are the treatments. And he formed the Sense Foundation, and you can still see these types of damage and the treatments there. And so these are the precursors, if you will, to these hallmarks of aging that we have today. So types of damage are shown here. So let's go through some examples. So for example, cancer. Cancer is division-obsessed cells. Can't stop dividing. Alzheimer's. Okay, well, you have massive loss of neurons in the brain. Intracellular junk, which are tau tangles. And you've got extracellular junk, which is plaque. And we are familiar with those. A lot of the medications are being developed to remove the plaque. There's also intracellular junk, which we haven't really addressed yet with any of the Alzheimer's treatment. But you can kind of see how these diseases follow these types of damage, or they could follow the hallmarks. They're just diseases. We gave them names, but really it's all aging. As we age, these things happen. So heart disease, you know, we obviously have cell loss in the heart. The heart gets weaker with plaque, cholesterol building up in our arteries. Our arteries are actually stiffening. The arteries are extracellular matrix composed of collagen and elastin. So they get less elastic, and so you start getting heart disease. And for example, one of the companies I invested in called Repair Bio, they are working on removal of this cholesterol that builds up in the veins. So that's one way we can repair. This would be extracellular junk, example of let's fix extracellular junk. So how does it accumulate today? We have repair mechanism, macrophages, our white blood cells. Their job is to go into the veins and clear this cholesterol from the veins. But they get poisoned by oxidized cholesterol, and they get stuck and they become part of this growth, this plaque in the veins. It does become a problem rather than a solution. What repair is doing is it's genetically engineering. They're adding an enzyme to the macrophages, prevents them from getting poisoned by oxidized cholesterol, and enables them to do their job. A similar enzyme works as mRNA therapy for liver cholesterol, which is NASH.
Non-alcoholic steatohepatitis.
Condition is similar. There's oxidized cholesterol that also builds up in the liver. We can, with this enzyme, enable clearance of that. You take frailty, you know, we talked about sarcopenia. Old people get frail and thin, right? So that's pretty much all of it, all of these damage types that result in frailty. We have another investment in our fund to fix it through some immune system. Work in an immunist has a way of getting immune system progenitor cells, so their stem cells, goes back to stem cell exhaustion. So this is a repair mechanism in our body. And they're able to extract and produce, mass produce some secretome. So these are secretions from these stem cells that are beneficial and that can restore your immune function and thus protect you from muscle atrophy. And they're in clinical studies that so far are going very well. So we're pretty excited about this treatment. So just going back to summarize, so the Seven Deadly Sins paper came out by Aubrey de Grey and his team, 2002, turn of the century. The first paper on hallmarks of aging that had 9 hallmarks in it came out in 2013. And then 10 years hence, we had an update just this year, and we've added some hallmarks, and now we have 12. So if you want to know who the scientists are that are central to longevity and age reversal, this is Aubrey team. This is the team that developed the both versions of the hallmarks paper.
For the sake of our audience who do not understand what metabolism is, can you take them through a high-level explanation of metabolism, muscle loss, cell at a high level so that they're able to understand it at a layman term?
So basically, I think it would take a discussion, but at the high level, there are cells in our body and there is extracellular matrix, which is proteins that form this framework, the structure. For example, we talked about blood vessels. You know, you have your cylindrical vessels. They're formed as extracellular matrix, but cells go and live on it. So they basically populate that matrix, and that matrix is made of collagen and elastin. And it also degrades. But the cells build it and maintain it and fix it. And the cells inside cell is a very complex machine. It's got all of our genes in the nucleus, complex mechanisms for producing various proteins that the cell needs and that may be needed outside of each cell.
Yeah, a quick definition of metabolism that I like is metabolism is all the processes that a cell needs to keep being alive.
The goal of the mini series around longevity is how do you take care of yourself and how do you take care of the damage that has already been done? And as Fiona just mentioned, there is research, there is a lot of investment, there is backing science to reverse all of those, decode what centenarians did differently that we could adapt. This for sure is going to be an amazing mini series around longevity and the do's and the don'ts.
So we saw the 12 hallmarks of aging, but the original version of the hallmarks came from Aubrey de Grey, and he defined 7 factors of aging. He called them, 7 damage types or 7 deadly things.
What does the word longevity mean?
It's frustrating and surprising to me that people are still asking this kind of question.
You hear a lot about some of these things that come out, like even in products these days, like collagen. We hear a lot about vitamin supplements that people are taking, and a lot of actually startup companies that are coming up with these vitamin supplements.
I've got 2 answers, and you're not going to like either of them. What we can say is basically nothing works.
Today, I feel like health is a commodity. There's a lot of people talking about working out. There's a lot of people talking about diets like keto and intermittent fasting and things like that. So, and people say that, like you said, it works for some people, it doesn't work for other people. A lot of people have different diets. But what is one common step in your mind that people can take towards a healthier lifestyle? Maybe even the regular blood test. What are the metrics that people should pay attention to?
Biological age can be defined at the molecular and cellular level to mean basically how much damage there is in your body.
Cumulative effects of anti-aging.
The right way to think about doing something about aging is to be combinatorial, especially ones that you can't yet do as a human being because they're not yet approved.
A lot of intervention medicine, like for example, gene editing or base editing.
We have a long way to go. The technologies that you referred to and other technologies that are correspondingly promising, things like induced pluripotent stem cells, for example, you know, these are things that were only invented very recently.
What, in your opinion, is the most promising advancement in the field of longevity right now that you think will be available to people sooner rather than later?
It's not really possible to give a hierarchy of type of damage repair technology is the most important, because you've got to repair lots of different things all at the same time.